Hello and welcome to the 72 Show. I'm your host, Anthony Kendrick, and joining me tonight, we've got Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And our guest this week is Roger Ely. Eli? Sorry, I should have checked that.
Eli will do.
Eli. I'm sorry about that. Roger Ely.
That's fine.
No worries. All right, so I'll throw you over to Nick. I know he's got a few questions he'd like to ask about your career.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, hi, Roger. I thought I'd start with your sort of early days with you first on the scene. I saw you in the youth setup at Leeds United, and then I made a couple of appearances for the first team. What was it sort of like going through sort of a massive football club in Leeds? What was that like?
Well, as a youngster, I always supported Leeds United, so it was absolutely incredible to sign for them. There were some great guys, great kids there. And obviously, one of my heroes was Eddie Gray, who obviously was a manager at the time. So to actually sign for him and be a part of the setup at Leeds United, you know, were like a dream come true.
That's fantastic to hear. So we've had a few guests on, always. It's always a sort of dream come true playing for the club. And it's good to say. I mean, you so these day and age, obviously, you've got people who would more go for money, really, rather than actual. Do you agree with that? In this day and age, there's more people that go for sort of the money rather than actual clubs they support, so to speak.
Well, you know, I would say that there's an element of that. There's certainly a lot more kissing of the badges. Whether obviously they're in love with the club or it's for the money, but there's one thing that they can't hide from or shouldn't be able to hide from is when you're out on that pitch, you know, you've got to really do it for the supporters. I suppose in this day and age, you know, there is a lot more money around. Sort of the youngsters who are coming in now probably didn't have it as hard as what many of the players did back then. So really, football was a way of getting out. I'm not going to say that players back then didn't want the money as well, but there just seems to be far too much of it around now.
Yeah. After Leeds United, I saw you moved on to Wolverhampton Wanderers. That's sort of your first move away. What was it like? Was it sort of strange moving out of Leeds and everything and getting you to a new football club?
Well, all I can say was a culture shock. I was always in and around the first team squad at Leeds, and then Eddie got sacked, and then Billy came in. And I mean, he gave me the choice whether I want to stay or go. I think he'd have preferred that I went because he would decide to bring in some of his own players in. And to be honest, we're not really knowing anything about Wolverhampton Wanderers. I basically, you know, took the option to leave. When I got there, I probably realised, certainly for a young lad, it wasn't the right move because the club was struggling at the time. I really probably got swamped in the mix. And I picked up, obviously, an injury at the wrong time, so it didn't help. But, you know, I met some fantastic people there. It is a fantastic club, but certainly for me, it was certainly the wrong option.
Okay, that's interesting to hear. Because you went to quite a few places after that, I noticed. And then it was sort of, it was Burnley where you really became sort of a real known figure in the game and everything, and very well respected at Burnley, I understand, from Anthony, Anthony's friend, who's a Burnley supporter, and a bit of research online that Burnley fans do very, very, very appreciate you playing for the football club. So why did it go so well there? What was it about Burnley?
Well, I think the thing is, I mean, obviously leaving Leeds United, I mean, it's like anything. I was a whole host of youngsters that were fantastic players, and you know, you've got your tunnel vision. You think you're going to make it. You think you're going to play for England, but obviously, going to Wolves, it was just like going into the abyss. You know, I just seemed to drop injury after injury, club after club. But then I found a home at Burnley. Initially, it was a little bit tougher. I were having to prove myself again. think I were playing centre back and right back. But actually, it was just by chance, really. I found, you know, my goal scoring feat because I went back to play in the position where Leeds United actually signed me as a striker.
Yeah.
And to be honest, signing for Burnley, it was a dream because it is a fantastic club. They've got fantastic supporters. And what I'd been through previous is all I'd known now is that I didn't want to go back there. So, you know, you had to work hard on the pitch. You had to focus on the pitch. And, you know, luckily, you know, it did work out well for me.
Yeah, and with Burnley as well, but I saw you join them in the fourth division. I guess you're absolutely delighted to see how well they're doing these days. Sort of looking like they're going to be potentially even a top half Premier League club at the end of the season.
Yeah, do you know it's been fantastic. I mean Burnley were there. I mean, a lot of people forget that Burnley have a fantastic history.
One of the first great club group.
Yes, well, they've had some great players that have played for Burnley, and like a lot of clubs, you know, they lose their way a bit, but it's absolutely fantastic to see them where they are now. And watching them yesterday against Chelsea, it's just a joy to watch. They look like a team that are full of confidence, certainly at home anyway, and they are competing with the best. And, you know, they've got a manager in Sean Dyche that I'm sure, you know, as long as they can keep hold of him, you know, Burnley will consolidate in the Premiership.
Absolutely, I'd say. I think over the years, Burnley have just, since Dyche has really joined, but even before that, under Eddie Howe, it's just been very, very under control at the football club. Every season, they just seem to be very straight. Even when they got relegated, they're straight back up. And kept a similar squad. They haven't gone over, they've sort of kept the core of the squad every season, really. They never really go overboard. And they always act very sensibly. Like, they lose someone, they make an adequate replacement. Like, Danny Ings going out, Andre Gray coming, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think that's very good of Burnley. I do apologise. I just realised I forgot to ask a question back in the Leeds days. Is there any sort of other big names coming through the academy of your Leeds? So I do apologise that I've thrown it a bit late on.
No, it's fine. Well, do you know what? I don't know how one you've got because a whole host of young players. John Sheridan, who was, I think he was about a year older than me. Do you know, there's so many. John Sheridan, Tommy Wright, Scott Sellers, Terry Phelan, Peter Swan. The list, Dennis, it just goes on and on. I think it's very similar to the period they had with Alan Smith and Jonathan Woodgate, that era. Mm. Leeds United's youth policy back then was second to none. It was just a shame that they didn't actually all come through together. You know, I think there were probably at the most there were three or four in the team at any one time. But they all, you know, a lot of them went on to all have strong careers and international caps elsewhere.
Final question here. When you sort of finished your, in the latter end of your career, you started playing non-league football for a bit of a Bradford Park Avenue. We ask this question every sort of week when we have a guest on. I'm always intrigued to know the answer, but. Do you find the standard of football when you sort of drop into non-league is, this is sort of very easy, or do you find it's actually very, very much a struggle sort of thing, that you've got a lot of hungry players there? Or would you feel the standard was dropping from sort of playing full-time football, professional football to non-league football?
I've got to be honest, it was difficult, really difficult. I mean, I enjoyed playing football anyway. It never bothered me. You know, I turned out at Sunday league level, I managed at Sunday league level. I enjoy football. Yeah. Actually playing, it's not like the professional game. No matter what it may look like, it's when you play a professional, you get drilled to play a certain way. Unfortunately, when you play amateur level, you've not been drilled, you've not been trained to play that certain way. You can come in and, you know, you can look the part, but when you're playing at non-league level, it is really difficult. It's physical, certainly at non-league level, they get away with lots of challenges that you wouldn't do at a professional level. But
yeah,
I must admit, it was difficult. But do you know what? I still haven't booted and I'm still going to play now.
Well, so I played for a football club called Hassocks Fat Boys, and we are We're struggling, not in fact, in any sense of way, but we're struggling for goals this season. So if you want to make the trip down south on a Sunday, then we'll be more than welcome to have you on.
Do you know what? I bought me a train ticket back in this interview.
And finally, I do apologise. I've tried to research this, but I couldn't find anything anywhere. Just wondering what you're up to now that you've finished from playing, football. You involved in coaching anywhere, or you just got a career away from the game?
Yeah, career away from the game. I'm still sort of involved because I watch my son. My son just signed for Huddersfield Town, so there watching him train. Yeah, I'm there watching him training and watching him play. So I mean, he's fortunate to get a scholarship for next year. So hopefully, you know, he'll have a better career than me. He'll stay away from the injuries. I watch the game a lot, but you know, the time's taken up by running a business supplies business that we've got, which we've had for 11 years.
Oh, fantastic! With the final one with the Sam playing for Huddersfield, obviously they're doing fantastic this season. What's it sort of like in the academy? Now, so now they've got David Wagner now in charge. How involved is he with the young players coming through?
Well, the thing is with Huddersfield, it's a family club, and from you know, if I walk around there and I'm watching, you know, you've got your coaches that do make you feel welcome. I've been to other academies where you're more or less looked at upon as a bit of an alien from some of the coaches, but. Huddersfield Town, I have to say, they certainly are doing things right. It's not just because of the league position they're in. It's pretty impressive. The chairman has built that club up. I mean, that's another old famous club, but they've certainly got the infrastructure right on the youth side. And you know, I expect Huddersfield, you know, to be knocking on that Premiership door for a long time. Even if they don't get it this year, they'll certainly be knocking. You know, because the setup is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And we said it a lot on this show. I'm sure we'll say it again later on when we do the championship round of the football they've been playing this season. It's been brilliant. And being a Brighton fan, obviously, where I'm in the table, they're the one team that I'm really concerned that could potentially catch us. I think Dave Wagner's been superb there from day one, and he's really installed.
Yeah.
Just a great sort of belief around the football club.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you look at what Jurgen Klopp's doing at Liverpool now. It's, I think, every single player who has a manager that shows passion, shows a little bit of loving as well. You know, obviously there's going to be players that want to be in the team that aren't, but you just get that feeling that players want to play for the manager. They want to play for the club. And, you know, that all brings success.
Absolutely. I think that's all the questions from me, mate. I'll hand us back over to Anthony.
Okay, yeah,
there's
just one final question I'd like to ask. What do you think are the biggest changes in football since you were a player compared to now?
Well, obviously the obvious is the money that's come into the game. When I say the money comes in the game, it's certainly there at the top in the Premiership, and it's there in the obviously in the top half of the Championship. You know, I wouldn't say there's that much that's changed, certainly in the lower divisions. There's still a lot of players that aren't on great salaries. There's limited squads. But certainly the science is in the game has been, you know, to the benefit of the players. There'll be players that are playing with injuries and not getting injured so often. I would definitely say at the bottom end, not much has changed. But certainly at the top end, it's just gone to another level. Whether rightly or wrongly, you know, I think the money should be shared out right across the board, up and down the leagues, obviously into grassroots as well. But you know, everybody thinks that it's certainly not going to happen, is it?
Yeah, I just want to ask as well. Like specifically, you mentioned about your son at Huddersfield. Do you think academies have changed a lot over the years, becoming more organised and more, as you say, scientific?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I could go on about academies. I have my views on academies. The academies that we've been, the I think I mentioned earlier about, it's often, sometimes it's apparent to see that there's actually people in academies that shouldn't be in because they're only kids in there, and kids need to be treated as kids. Mm-hmm. There's people in there that actually treat the kids as adults. And when I was going through that process, obviously it was the old school boy forms, and I did mine at Nottingham Forest. And no matter whether you went to school on Monday morning, if you went in at Nottingham Forest, you were working for Nottingham Forest, and you had to respect Nottingham Forest. These days, you know, you can see kids walking around like as if they'd made it, and that's not their fault. That's the people who are actually running the academies. Mm-hmm. Is it a good thing? I think it's great for a focus point. I think the training sessions, the kids know that they're going there to train, but when it comes to basically, they've got to understand that they have to work really hard, and I don't think that's emphasised enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that's really interesting. Thanks for that. We'll move on and talk about the championship then. So at the top of the table, Brighton and Newcastle, a pretty routine win for Brighton, a 4-1 win, and Mitrovic scoring the winner for Newcastle to beat Wolves 1-0.
Good win for Newcastle. I thought they looked very uncontrolled. A bit disappointed with the way Wolves are playing, but I think with Wolverhampton, obviously, we mentioned it before, when you're on a good, obviously on a very good cup run, got Chelsea to look forward to next week. I think they've obviously all got half an eye on that, Paul Lambert probably included. So I think obviously performance levels just dropped this week. And Newcastle, don't get me wrong, Newcastle's game plan worked a treat, and they've grounded out 3 points, and that is what they're going to have to do, obviously, going into the final couple of months for the rest of the season. Brighton let the game itself, and very professional performance. Burton, obviously, they've proven this season they can cause their upsets. They can play some good football with some good individual players, but no, it was a very good win for Brighton.
Mm-hmm. And Huddersfield in third place. Do you think the top two will stay the same as it is, or can you see a Huddersfield or a Reading or somebody coming into it?
Well, they always is somebody who makes a late run, certainly into the playoffs. I mean, there's some very strong teams there. You know, usually you look at the teams that go up from the Championship, and you'll probably say, yeah, they might struggle in the Premiership, you know, the following season. But I look at possibly the top four, the top five in that Championship. They've got some well-organised teams. There's some well-organised teams in there, and some very good coaches. I mean, you look at even down to Leeds United. I'm not sure where they are now. About fourth or fifth, I think.
Yes.
Now, they've got a very good young manager. So it's going to be interesting. I couldn't say who. You know, if I had to say one, it'd be Newcastle. I'm not sure about Brighton. And I think it's probably anyone from four to join Newcastle.
Okay. I just want to pick up on your point about managers. Do you think that because there's less chances for, you know, British managers in the Premier League, that, you know, good managers like Gary Monk are having to prove themselves in the Championship? Because, you know, you could name 10 good managers who deserve a shot.
Yeah. You know, that's, you know, we've been speaking about David Wagner there. And, he's a fantastic manager, and obviously Jurgen Klopp. It is a shame. It's a massive shame how it has gone. You know, there's guys coming out of the game all the time. There's guys that have been out of the game for the last seven or 8 years plus that want to be managers, but they're never going to get that chance, certainly at the top end, which is a shame. I followed Gary Monk a lot when he was at Swansea, and his teams played good football, and he certainly deserves another crack at it. It's just whether, you know, the owners are going to allow that.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be the thing to have a foreign manager. But, you know, certainly Sean Dyche, Eddie Howe, Sean, that, you know, they can mix it with the big boys up there.
Yeah, definitely. I just want to discuss a couple of clubs just outside the playoffs. So Norwich got a very good win, a 5-1 victory over Nottingham Forest. Big result for them. I know they've won four out of the last five, and they're now just off the playoffs after a bad mid-season.
Well, do you know what? Norwich is another one. They've got a good young Scottish manager. But I think that they haven't changed the team much. They've got some good individuals as well. They've been there. There might be another one, you know, that will make that late surge for that playoff spot. And cement it, you know, through at Wembley. There is some good teams. Norwich are a good team. In fact, the top end of the Championship have got some fantastic teams, and obviously Wolves are just out of that thing, and they're probably for next year, Paul Lambert will get them going as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with Norwich as well. We don't forget, at the start of the season, when we did our predictions, Norwich were definitely mentioned by a lot of pundits, mm-hmm. a lot of people. Given the size of budget they've got, and as Roger just said, they haven't changed their team much from the Premiership. They are a very good side. And I don't know what's happened. I think they say mid-season, it's all gone a bit topsy-turvy for them. And I think they've sort of underestimated how tough this actually the league is. They're starting to show what they're all about. And I think if they went on a great run when they got promoted in the last time they were in the Championship. So, yeah. They've just got to keep winning everything. And obviously, just keep looking up the table rather than down. And they've got players who are starting to come into their own again, like Johnny House. And I understand he was outstanding on Saturday. Nelson Oliveira has really started to put some performances. So, I think Norwich, certainly, I think they'll be looking up. And I certainly think teams around them will start to fear as well. Yeah.
I think the other side of, I say Norwich won 5-1, they beat Nottingham Forest, and to look at it the other way, things aren't looking great for them. They're not far off the relegation zone. Their captain was sent off as well, Lehigh was sent off, and keepers out, Stephen Henderson, for the rest of the season. What do you make of Gary Brazil and Jack Lester being in charge of Forest till the end of the season?
Do you know what? They'll probably do a job as good as anybody. They'll know the players. Mm-hmm. It's whether the players are going to respond to them. I mean, do you know what? It's important that the players do respond to them, because to have Nottingham Forest in a predicament like they are, it's very sad. I was out hoping that Nigel Clough would take the job on, but it's probably not the right time for him. Mm-hmm. His father left a fantastic legacy there. You know, there's certainly something going wrong at Forest, but it's sad to see him there. It really is in that predicament.
What do you think of Clough deciding to stay at Burton? Do you think he did the right thing? Because he said it was more out of respect to Burton not leaving mid-season.
Well, I certainly think he spoke to him. Mm-hmm. Now, if he's out of respect, you wouldn't speak to him, would you? He's another guy I've got a lot of time for. I just don't think it was the right time for him.
Okay.
I mean, you know, managers must go into clubs and and think, listen, they can't do anything with it. There's obviously problems somewhere, and certainly he's probably made the right decision to stay at Burton until the problems get sorted out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I saw over the drama at Rangers at the weekend that Mark Warburton will be linked. I think he'll be a very good appointment for them. Whether they'll hold off to the end of the season or whatever, we can just keep Brazil and Leicester in charge, because obviously they know Ben Hicks club very well, we say it every season. I'm just fearing if Mark Warburton does go, yeah, great manager, but will it just go the same way? He gets up to a great start, it goes wrong, gets hacked, repeats sort of thing. So, we're Nottingham Forest. It's a club that should certainly attract a lot of good managers, because it's a massive football club. Some have clearly not been right there for years, because, as I say, years after years, it's been a similar story of get a good run, struggle, sack, repeat, really. But if they can get the correct manager in, they can really maybe sort out recruitment and everything like that, they could be on their way back. I've seen it over with Sheffield Wednesday and Leeds this season. As the big clubs, they can do it. If they get everything sort of right, they can move up the league and look to go on their way back up into the Premiership.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're on the same number of points as Aston Villa, who lost against Ipswich at the weekend. It's their fifth loss in six. Steve Bruce is under a lot of pressure. The side have only scored two goals. Villa are another side, you'd be expecting them in the playoff race at least.
Yeah, absolutely, definitely. But I can't understand how Steve Bruce is under pressure. Now, if anybody thought that he was going to walk in there and get a promotion, we've just mentioned some good teams in there. Mm-hmm. It was never going to be easy. I mean, they got relegated last year. They've already sacked a very good manager. Now, yes, Steve Bruce, he's experienced, but he needs time to work his magic. Aston Villa, it's a fantastic club, but everybody seems to be in a hurry. We understand the parachute payments, but maybe next year will be their time, because they will get it right, because they have got some good players as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think with Villa, this season's just been a bit of a title for them. It didn't work under Di Matteo. Bruce has come in. I think he's tried to do the best he can. They should certainly stick by him because he's proven he's a great manager, especially in the Championship. And it's just maybe thinking about adding a few other quality players in the thing and really working out where it's gone wrong for them this season. I know Ross McCormack hasn't proven out to be a very good signing. But with Villa, they're a funny team. So they're one of the best teams I've actually seen at Brighton this season. Very, very strong on all areas of the pitch. But for some, it just seems to be these home games. I don't know what it is, whether it's just a confidence thing, it's a nervous thing from struggling in front of guy over the last few seasons. But as I say, 1-0 defeat under Ipswich really is disappointing for them, especially an Ipswich team who've been very poor late.
Also, Derby, they came back from 3-0 down. They drew 3-0 with Bristol City. I know Matty Taylor got his goal for the club, and Tammy Abraham scored twice. I know he's a player we had the start of the season, had a great start. He's tailed off a little bit. But, yeah, Derby come back, drew 3-0, and that leaves them 5 points off the playoffs. So still in the battle, could be a crucial point.
Yeah, well, there's another manager, another fantastic manager at Derby. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I've seen Derby a few times. You know, they'll always be there or thereabouts. They've made a few appointments recently that haven't worked out. But, you know, Steve McClellan seems a great level for him. You know, he'll upset a few clubs. Yeah, you know, they're the club that I'd expect to certainly be in the playoffs or, you know, just there or thereabouts.
Yeah. I know I was reading an article about Nigel Pearson saying he was doubting himself about going back into management. He said he's not had the right opportunity yet, but he's not sure what he's going to do next.
Well, do you know, it's a shame, isn't it, that? Because, I mean, what is the right opportunity? I think the thing is, these guys spend years getting the coaching badges, and that's what they're paid to do, is to coach. And, you know, If you're confident in your ability, I'm sure you can make an impact somewhere. I do like Nigel Pearson. You know, I don't like the term. They've got to use it, the old school, the new school. He'd certainly be somebody that I'd like to play for because, you know, I should imagine, you know, he won't let many people get away with, you know, any slacking. But he certainly knows his scientific stuff as well.
Oh, but yeah, it's a great comeback for Derby, and it really shows that they're not giving up this season. Like maybe over the last couple of seasons, especially towards the latter end of last season, they would have just caved in and accepted defeat maybe at half time. But whether that's a Steve McClellan thing, that they weren't going to die, and they've got what could be a very crucial point for them. On the flip side, though, with Bristol City, I think that just sort of sums up their season in one, really very, very good going forward. So they've got some great individual players going forward, as you said, with Abraham, etc. But at the back, they've really let themselves down. I don't know what the statistics are, but at the back, they have not been great, and they're in a very precarious position. I say, Lee Johnson, he's got a tough job in his hand. Obviously, he's a young manager. He's done a good job at Bristol City till now, but he's got to accept they're in a relegation battle, and as I say, they can't go around throwing 3-0, three-nil up at half time and throwing that away, because that is two massive points they've lost there. And again, obviously with Derby claiming that extra point, that could be very costly for Bristol City at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm. A team I thought was a bit unlucky as well, Wigan. Wigan ended up losing 3-2 to Fulham. Fulham coming back from 2-1 down and got the winner in stoppage time, but. You know, Wigan losing out on those points. That's another big, you know, big points to lose out on when you look at the relegation battle as a whole.
Well, do you know what? Fingers crossed, Warren can stay and play from relegation, because I think Warren Joyce is going to be he's going to be another excellent manager. Mm-hmm. I've seen his work at Manchester United, and I've seen some of the kids that he's helped to bring through. Now, if he can keep him in that division, and I know he's just brought James Weir to the club, who's another fantastic young player. You know, if he can, you know, use his influence to bring these type of players to the club, I think Wigan will do okay. But they've got to stay clear from relegation this year. They really have.
No, I agree. I watched quite a lot of the United under-21s myself, living pretty near to the ground, yeah. And they are They do. He was very highly rated there. And I know in the January transfer window, he signed a lot of players. But I think it's going back to a point you made earlier about good academies. I think something you look at a team like United, you know, while they have some players who play for their club, they make a lot of players who end up going on to have good careers in the Football League or in the Premier League. But yeah, no, hopefully, I really hope Wigan stay up for the same reason because of Warren Joyce.
I know Warren well, and, you know, he's one of these unique footballers that lives and breathes football. And, you know, Warren deserves every success because he's a fantastic lad. And, you know what, there's nothing better than seeing somebody work really hard for the money in the game. You know, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Have you got any thoughts on the relegation battle in general? Any thoughts who'll go down?
Well, I just think, you know, there's like 14, 15 games to go. So a little bit more than that, isn't there? There'll be a few changes. But I've also thought as long as Warren doesn't go and end up in that bottom three positions, you know, I'll be happy there. Like you mentioned earlier, Bristol City, but he's another one, Lee Johnson, who is a good manager. I'm not sure, you know, whether they've got the strength in depth, you know, to stay up. Fingers crossed, you know, it'll work out for him.
Yeah, there's only one place I guess we can start with League One. Quite a controversial game, Wigan v Charlton. I'll start with there was a Wimbledon volunteer at the club who confronted Carl Robinson. He said, according to Carl Robinson, he said something disgusting that shouldn't be part of the industry in any walk of life. Pretty horrible incident, really, I thought.
Right, do you know what? I missed him. Does anybody know what he said?
I don't know exactly what was said.
Carl Robinson just came out and said it was something disgusting and the club are looking into it. He's probably not going to be back. But yeah, it was it looked like, I've seen the images of the incident, it looked quite nasty, to be honest.
Right. Well, you know what, it's disappointing. You know what, when in and around football, certainly when you've played, you know, you actually regret, certainly myself back then, you know, some of the stuff you've done, and you know, it might have been picked up by the TV or it might be picked up by the media. But in this day and age, I don't think it's acceptable. I really don't. You know, we have problems all over the world now, and football should be a game of enjoyment, you know. And you know, things need to be kept certainly in house and undercover, really.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I know it was an under derby. I know it was a very ill-tempered game. I know it was a very passionate game. Which, to be fair, as supporters, we like to see these passionate games and everything. under control, of course. Yes. Under control. When you cross the line, I don't know what was said, but clearly it's gone way too far. And as I say, you just don't want that in football, not in the slightest. And obviously, it sounds like it's got a bad spin on a very good game of football and a good London derby, which is a shame for both clubs because it's a very good point for both sets of clubs.
Yeah, it was very on the pitch. Yeah, like you say, it was a great game of football. Tom Elliott scored that late equaliser for Wimbledon, got a red card for an over the top celebration, which I know we've talked about a few times. What do you think of it, Roger? And like, you know, players getting booked for running into the crowd and removing shirts and things like that. Do you think it's too much? Or?
Well, do you know what? I certainly don't agree with it. I understand. I understand where, obviously, you know, the stampede effect, supporters at the back want to get to the front, the ones at the front get crushed. I totally understand that. But trust me, when you score a goal, there might be some people, some players that actually rehearse the goal celebration, but at that moment, the players that don't rehearse that goal celebration, it just takes over, and you just do what your mind tells you to do, and you regret your actions afterwards. But to actually, you know, get cautioned, which results in a sending off, no, I think it's pretty disappointing. And you know what, I actually hope they bring this sin bin in, because that's certainly a sin bin in, not a sending off, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you ever have any celebrations in your career, anything you were known for, any particular celebration you'd like to do? Is that
No, I was one of those crazy ones that I didn't know what I was going to do. So whether I jumped into the crowd, whether I you know, threw myself on the floor. It's just a moment, and usually, you know, you run to your supporters because they want to celebrate it as much. You know, you've only got to look at the faces in the crowd and see what they're doing. You know, never mind when you actually score a goal. You know, it just takes over. It's such a hard one. You know, I do know that there's people that are practicing celebration, but, you know, more often than not, a player doesn't know what he's doing when he's scoring, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, we'll move on from that. Scunthorpe lost their second match in a week. They lost 1-0 to Shrewsbury, but looking at it from the other point of view, Shrewsbury, that's 4 wins out of 5, and now they're looking, they've got a bit of breathing space from the relegation zone.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? I still think Scunthorpe will do all right. I think I probably can't see further than the top two, Sheffield and Scunthorpe.
Mm-hmm.
I know Bolton are on the tail, but, you know, Scunthorpe have had a great season. I still fancy Scunthorpe to go all the way.
Yeah.
Right, we were Scunthorpe, though. We were saying, obviously, with Sheffield United and Bolton, the clubs, the massive, massive football clubs, they have a lot bigger budgets than, obviously, than Scunthorpe. Maybe, I know obviously, the clubs go through bad runs. It's a case of them getting out of it. But maybe this could be the start of Bolton, maybe catching them up. I whether it will be like that, no. I hope it's not, because I really want Scunthorpe to go up. It would be great for a small club like that to get promoted ahead of a huge club in Bolton and Sheffield United. It would be great, but as I say, obviously 2 defeats out of 2 at this stage of the season. It's just trying to get out of that bad run. It's winning a game, even it's just a really ugly, the ugliest of 1-0 wins. They're going to be looking to do that. But on the flip side, though, Shrewsbury, fantastic win. I know the former Grimsby manager's coming there and he's done an absolutely superb job. They're 4 wins out of 4, 5 points above the relegation zone now. He just want to keep this run of form going and just keep getting further and further away from that drop zone. Fantastic for Shrewsbury. And I said they were looking one of the definites to go down not so long ago, but far from it now.
Could we see something like what happened with Barnsley last year when they end up in the playoffs?
Well, you never know. I know they've got 12 points off the playoffs. You probably feel that's a bit too far. But hey-ho, you keep winning, then the point gap does eventually get smaller. But yeah, it probably is a bit too much to catch up on the state of the season. But as you said yourself, Barnsley last season, you've only got to keep winning.
Mm-hmm. Talking about Scunthorpe as well, obviously they've lost, as we said. Bolton got their first win this year, 2017. They beat Walsall 4-1, and Sheffield United got a late winner against Peterborough. So the other two sides both winning. Billy Sharp as well, another goal for him. It's 20th of the season.
Oh, it's quite interesting. I mean, Bolton have played a game less than Scunthorpe, so one, and they're 4 points adrift of Scunthorpe. So one thing. What will happen? Scunthorpe need to start picking up, because it could get that effect where Bolton is just pushing Scunthorpe all the time. So that then in turn inspires Scunthorpe. Obviously, they don't want to lose because Bolton will catch him. So I, the way I see it now, I don't expect any change from Sheffield United and Scunthorpe. Okay. Would I put money on it? Probably not. But I still think Scunthorpe will come good again.
Okay. Fleetwood as well, just an honourable mention to them. They drew 0-0, but that extends their unbeaten run even further. I know last week we were commenting on how great it's been for them. It's their club record.
Well, do you know what? We're talking another German manager, aren't we? You know, he's doing well as well. You know, it's there must be something about these Germans. They're showing us how to play football. But, you know, it's good to see Fleetwood there. It really is. My hometown club, Bradford, are in there. There's some good teams, and Rochdale are just outside the playoff spot, so it'll be interesting. Any of those that are in the Championship next season, you know, they'll do themselves justice.
With Fleetwood, it's fantastic. There's a lot of money in that football club, and it's good to see them. They've got the correct manager in Ewan Rossley. He's done a great job over the years, especially in League One with Brentford. And I hope they can go away as well. And 0-0 of Rochdale, it's a good point for both sides.
Just one final thing as well. Coventry,
yep.
Bottom of the table. they lost 3-2 to Oldham in what was probably a really big game. Oldham now out of the relegation zone. I saw Coventry have signed Yakubu today from you know, the former Everton Portsmouth striker. So it'll be interesting to see if he can get the goals in League One.
Well, I tell you what, it'll certainly be a culture shock for him. You know, I mean, he's a top goal scorer, top player. But at that end, look, do you know what, outside the championship, you have to scrap. You know, to see a club like Coventry down there, I know they've had the problems on and off the field. It's so sad. But fingers crossed, Yakubu, blimey, they're a long way off. Now, they're getting relegated. I've got to say, Coventry are down now, but it's not nice to say, but it's a long way off, is that, you know?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Oh, yeah, they've got 21 points, and Oldham, who were fifth bottom, got 31, so it's a long, it's a tough ask, it really is.
Mm-hmm.
I completely agree. I've been saying it like last year. It's just, I can't see any light at the end of the tunnel. Most importantly for Coventry Football Club is to get these problems off the pitch sorted, and fast. Otherwise, it's just going to be a potential. It could even be another potential poor season in League Two. I mean, next season it's going to be the case of just consolidating, bedding through the youngsters, getting rid of your hinds off the wage bill, and more importantly, just sorting these off the field issues. Hoping a buyer will come in. And then hopefully we can see them rise up in Football League again. But
yeah,
again, on the flip side, a massive win for Oldham. And it really gives them hope, 1 point above the drop zone now. And full credit to them. Because, again, they're another club who was looking a bit bleak a few weeks ago. But they've gone on a good run. And they've given themselves a lot of hope. And certainly a very, very good chance of survival.
Yeah. Well, they certainly brought the right manager in there. Because John's done it a few times, John Sheridan. Remember him doing it at Plymouth. He did it at Newport for a bit as well, didn't he? So
yeah,
John goes in there and he does really well. It'd be nice to see John, if not old, at Oldham with money, but a club with money. Because, you know, I know John well, and obviously we're a talented player. But, you know, John's a very clever lad. And, you know, if he went to the right club with money, you know, I'm sure, he'd make a name for himself.
Mm-hmm. With Bury winning as well, I know he played for them at one point. They beat Swindon, and that's another big result. You know, two teams in the relegation zone, and Bury coming out on top. It's been a bit of a topsy turvy season for Bury. I know they had a very good start, then had that ridiculous losing run, and now they need to get out of the relegation zone.
Yeah, they do. I'd certainly give Bury more chance than Coventry. You know, it's a tough league. You know, nobody wants to drop down into the League Two. You know, will Bury do it? They should do. You know, they're a good club. You know, they've got a previous history. I'd expect Bury to get out of it, but you know, then you're talking Gillingham and Paul Peel, because I think John Sheridan at Oldham, you know, will certainly get sort of halfway up the table.
Okay, we'll move on to League Two. I'll start with Crewe, a very, very impressive win for them. They beat Grimsby 5-0, their first win in 11 games. I know it prompted the Grimsby manager, Marcus Bignot, to go over to the fans and apologise for how badly they played.
That's a great touch.
Well, it is. But, I mean, Crewe, Alex, for such a small club, obviously, you know, everybody knows that the talent that's, you know, they've produced over the years. You know, a change of manager. You know, it has given them a lift. To be fair, Steve Davison lost his job. You know, it's a close friend of mine. Another close friend. How many have they had? And I felt a little bit sad for him. Steve worked really hard there. But obviously, the new manager's come in. He's lifted. You know, he's given the club a lift. But, you know, I've seen their academies. They've got young players. They'll have young players coming through. And, you know, it won't be long before Crewe are back in the Championship.
It's not with the Marcus Brigham field. I think fair play to him for going up to the fans after the game. Obviously, getting embarrassed like that, it's not great, especially in a way, you've gone all that way, you spent good money. And so I get embarrassed. It's obviously a bit demoralising for the players, but also for the supporters. So a bit of touch of glass, but with them. Also, that I think it seems like a sensible thing. That'll mean a lot to supporters. And they're only 6 points off the playoffs. So everybody's got that in mind, thinking we can still get it. We've got a lot of football to be played. We can maybe still have a shout of getting the playoffs. So whoever's got that in mind, I don't know. But again, it will give the fans a lift, and they've seen that, and hopefully they can bounce back from that. But as flips are fantastic and for crew, and it's looking like they're going to stay up. And full credit to Steve Davis.
Mm-hmm. I guess as a manager, you just feel like you want to sink in and just shut out the world completely after a result like that. Want to talk about Newport, who are bottom of the league. They drew 0-0 with Doncaster. It's 5 games unbeaten for them, but very creditable point against the side who are top of the table.
Well, definitely. I mean, Doncaster are flying. I mean, obviously they've got Darren Ferguson in charge, another experienced and good young manager. But it's a good point. It's one of them, isn't it? You don't know whether Doncaster were a little bit blasé about him, or Newport fought. So if Newport, if we're going with Newport, fought really hard, Newport will do okay. They've got a bit of catching up to do. But why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you work hard? You don't want to be dropping down into the Vanarama League. It can't be long since Newport have been out of there. So it's down to the players. It's roll your sleeves up time,
Yeah, full credit, and again, Graham Westley, great manager. That's a great point for Newport, and full credit to the players. Mm-hmm. Again, at the top of the league, you're sort of waiting to be beaten. But no, they fought hard, and they've got a very good point there, and that'll give the players a lot of confidence. And it's only 5 points off the drop, and certainly doable. Obviously, picking up wins, scoring goals is going to be their aim for the rest of the season, because that'll be the only way they can stay up.
Yeah, yeah. Plymouth beat Exeter 3-0. Plymouth up to second in the table. They're only 3 off Doncaster now, and after a dodgy run of form, they seem to be sorting themselves out. I know Exeter had won their last 7 games prior to that, so end of a good run. But Exeter in 5th place, and right in the middle of the playoff battle. I'm sure they need to bounce back, and they can bounce back.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, if you probably look at any of the top in any division, top 7 teams, they're good teams, aren't they? They're there for a reason. They've been fairly consistent. I'm sure they will. But when you look at those teams in there, there's some great history in there. Even Portsmouth, who were just below Exeter, you sort of think, what a fall from grace that's been. But they're certainly heading in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know, Portsmouth won 2-0 over Accrington Stanley, and I know they're one of their players has come out today and said that now is the crucial time where they need to win the games. It's such a critical time of the season, especially when you look at the table. You've got like 5 points separating 6-7 teams. It's just a scrap, isn't it, for the playoff places?
Yeah, it is, definitely. They're looking for an automatic as well. Portsmouth, they're not far behind, are they?
Only 4 off.
Good club, yeah, good club. Great history. When you look at the damn divisions, certainly in the bottom two, some of these teams have been as high as the Championship, some have been in the Premiership, and how such a fine line football is, whether it's finances or just down to bad play, you can just drop to straight through the trapdoor.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a good break in the report. So we're going back on to Plymouth. Yeah, I think Plymouth and Doncaster, but them side, I think they look like they're well on their way to League One. Very good battle for the teams around there. And League Two has been very exciting for years now, and it's a great division. So some great teams there, and it'll be I think that's going to go all the way to the final day for that mm-hmm. for that final automatic position.
Well, from last season, it was the most exciting league come the final day. I'm sure there was that battle for third place, wasn't there? And then the playoffs. I think the playoffs were extremely competitive, from what I recall.
Yeah, they were.
I just want to pick up on Roger's point as well before about a fall from grace. Blackpool in 11th place, they got a very good win, a 4-1 win over Carlisle, who were in third, and going away to Carlisle as well. Very, big win and keeps them in the playoff battle just about, I think.
Yeah, that's it. You know, that's another fantastic club. Some famous players who have played for them. Mm. I think media suggests. I mean, we don't know. You know, it's a little bit of bad management. When I say management, bad ownership. I mean, to see Blackpool where they are, you know, it does happen. If you don't run your club correctly, you know, everybody's suffering, even the supporters are suffering. But, you know, they're from the club, you know, they're heading in the right direction. And fingers crossed they can make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. So, Pete Cole's done a fantastic job at Carlisle this season. Been very impressed by them all season. But my full credit to Blackpool have gone to a very, very tough game. A very, very tough place to go. And they've battered them off the park and won 4-1. And that will get them 5 points off the playoffs. And Gary Bowyer, I'm sure, will be looking at the playoffs.
Okay, just to finish off the show, I just want to mention a news article which came up on the BBC today, a study which they've done into drug testing in the Football League. They've found 40% of players in the Football League haven't been drug tested at all in the past year, and that there's been no testing at all in the National League. Have you got any thoughts on that? Do you think that every player should be tested? Or?
Well, from my point of view, when I played, it's like anything, isn't it? I'd feel aggrieved if I got tested, because I certainly wouldn't take any performance enhancing or take any recreational. Mm-hmm. Now, it's such a difficult one, because the way I see it, professional footballers should be professional sportsmen, and they should know how to look after themselves. Should they be tested? It's such a difficult one, because the thing is, you know, if you can't control the ball, if you can't defend, if you can't put the ball in the net, you know, whether a performance-enhancing drug is going to make you a better player, I don't know. It's such a different. It's different. It's a little bit different from an athlete. I understand. It's one of those questions I can't answer, because I've always said professional footballers should be the model professional footballers. Because it's a privileged life.
Can I ask what drug testing was like back when you were playing, if it's anything like it is today?
Well, they used to just pull a player out after every game. They just got into training, so they just randomly pick a player out. Obviously, you know, they preempt that, and then the player would have to do the urine sample. Now, I'm not sure whether it's changed that much. I know we didn't have to have, you know, this is it a whereabouts, you know, clause in his contracts. Now, I wouldn't imagine it's changed greatly. I think probably the players, when I were playing in my era, it'd be more alcohol that was in, but yeah, in the season. But it's something that, if they're going to do it, they've got to do it. If they don't feel there's a need, you know, they just can't randomly just pick people out, you know.
Yeah. Do you think the whereabouts thing, because I know Man City got in trouble recently, and I think Fleetwood did as well. Do you think the whereabouts thing is too far? Do you think, you know, because clubs have got to basically say, you know, if asked, they've got to be able to tell the FA where their player is, even if it's a day off or whatever. Do you think that's too much, like almost like an invasion of privacy? Or?
Yeah, I totally agree, because I bet it's 99.9% of footballers that are clean living and that won't go anywhere near any kind of drug.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably, you know, there's been a lot being said about the athletes, the Russian athletes, and so on in that sport. Now, footballers, I'm sure there is people that have done it, but there's been people who've been caught out barely. You know, I think even on the banned substance list, I think there's a lengthy that you can't take. So there is a fine line. It's such a difficult one. And then performance enhancing. You know, for 90 minutes on a football pitch, you know, you just train. You train hard. Mm. You know, you work on your strengths and your weaknesses. Surely that's enough.
Yeah. Well, I think there's only been, of all the tests, there was one player, Alan George, who got a warning because it was to do with that asthma. He'd gone slightly over the limit on one of the drugs in his inhaler. But I know... I read a few players have been caught with recreational drugs in their system, but with that, the FA's current policy is not to publicly name those players because they feel they have a better chance of, you know, getting them right if they're not in the public eye, which I do agree with. I think some may disagree, but personally, I think that's the right thing.
Well, I totally agree with that because, you know, the recreational drugs, I just think it's the era that we are in. I'm not saying it's right. I absolutely don't condone drugs whatsoever. It's about a bit of education. Now, they all get well educated, you know, by the clubs. There's going to be one or two that are a little bit different, you know. I think they're going to do it and not get caught. But if you educate them, but certainly that recreational drug isn't going to enhance any performance. All it does really is, it's a kind of life that, you know, you're a privileged footballer, you've got a fantastic job, just stay clear of it, you know, there's no need for it.
Okay. Nick, have you got anything you'd like to add on the whole drugs debate?
I mean, I can't really comment too much. I don't really know. I must admit, my knowledge of this isn't great. But I think simply, if you're a professional footballer, you watch, doesn't matter if you're from a League Two club, not even on League Club, to the Premier League, you're getting paid players, you get your role model, don't do it, simply has, and just disrespect the game. And no one wants to see it. We don't want to be talking about it. As I say, it's just a shame we are talking about it. But it's one of these ones you just hope can just slowly fade out, but it's like 39%, that's a big increase from when I think we last discussed it. I don't know what it was before, but it's certainly increasing. It's not good news.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I think we've reached the end of the show. You can follow us on Twitter at V2Football and check out our website, v2football.com. You can also follow Roger on Twitter. It's at RogerEely99. Thanks for joining us. It's good night from me and good night from my guests. Good night.
Okay, good night. Thank you.